This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is number four in the short series we're doing on Passover, a night to be much observed. And I've read to you out of the Shocken Bible and some other translations. So today we will read out of the Shocken Bible, and I'm going to send you copies of these pages, which you have in the mailing that you just received. But let's understand something. There are some scriptures that are very hard to understand. In the New Testament, Peter said some of the writings of Paul were very hard to understand, very difficult to understand. But the key is this, it doesn't mean you cannot understand them. However, he said, which those who are unlearned and unstable twist and distort. So likewise, in the Old Testament, what we are going to cover today is perhaps, and the whole thing we have been covering concerning the Passover, the most difficult to understand. And so what we have to do it the way God wants it done, by line upon line, precept upon precept, and we have to put it all together. And we have to do it step by step. And too many people, like the Protestants, the first place they like to start is the book of Galatians. Well, the book of Galatians is not for someone just beginning in the faith. The book of Galatians is for someone who has been grounded in the basics and in the faith first before you understand it. And unless you understand about Jewish tradition and Jewish law and circumcision, then you cannot possibly understand about the things that Paul is writing in the book of Galatians. So likewise, when we come to the Passover in the Old Testament, we're looking at some things which cause the problems. Number one, a poor or completely inaccurate translation. Number two, as a result of it, a misinterpretation because the English words appear to be the same. So you assume that they mean the same thing, when in fact they do not. So what we have to do is we have to get some definition from the Bible itself. Now, that's why we're going to read from some pages of the Shocken Bible, which I have here for you. And so let's begin first of all. So we'll go back and we will review just a couple of things which are important for us to realize. All right, let's go back to Leviticus 23, which is the first page, page 618. Now let's begin in verse 4. Verse 4. These are the appointed times of the Lord. I'll just read it in the English translation. YHWH should be pronounced Jehovah, not Yahweh. Proclamations of holiness, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. So God is the one who has set the time, and that's important to understand. Man cannot change the appointed times that God has given and call it true worship of God. He can change it, but then that's a deviation from what God has said. So what we are going to do in pursuing these things is to understand this. Truth in the scriptures can be understood if we pursue the truth and do not have a position. If we are seeking exactly what the Word of God says, we will come to understand it. And the Spirit of truth will lead us in the truth so that we will know. And in particularly with this, concerning the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is very, very important because the Passover especially in the New Testament, is the key of the covenant for eternal life. And so the proper appointed day and time is what God has set. Now, verse 5. On the first new moon, which is just month, on the first month, on the 14th day after the new moon, between the setting times. Now, what does between the setting times mean? That's the way that Everett Fox, who's one of the foremost experts in Jewish grammar and syntax in the world today, that's how he translated it. Now, look down here at the footnote number 5. And he gives a definition of it, and we will see why in just a minute. Between the setting times, between the time that the sun is below the horizon, no longer visible, in total darkness, an idiomatic rendition would be at twilight. Now, twilight does not set in, really, until the sun goes below the horizon. Now, notice. Between the setting times is Passover to the Lord. On the 15th day after this new moon is a pilgrimage feast of matzah or unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you are to eat. First day is a proclamation of holiness, etc. Seventh day. I want you to note the term first day. You might want to circle that because we'll come back to that later. Notice that that refers to the 15th day and does not refer to the Passover being the 14th. So those who combine the 14th with the 15th, you're putting the Passover on the first day of unleavened bread. Those who combine the 15th with the 14th are putting the first day of unleavened bread on Passover. And when that happens, you reduce the whole thing from 8 days to 7 days. All right, so we have a definition between the setting times when the sun goes down below the horizon until dark. Now let's go to page 621. 621. Now this again is Leviticus 23, but let's come down here to verse 32. Now, we've covered this before, but I just want to review it in the Shocking Bible so it becomes clear in your understanding. All right? Verse 32. It is Sabbath, that is a day of atonement, a Sabbath ceasing for you. Now, in this case, this is a literal rendition from the Hebrew. You are to afflict yourselves on the ninth day after the new moon, at sunset. Now, the Hebrew there is ba'erev, sunset. What does this tell us? This tells us the 10th day, because you go up here to verse 27, it says, Mark, on the 10th day of the 7th new moon is the day of atonement. So it's important that everyone understands when the 10th day begins. Because you can't have some of them beginning it in the afternoon. You can't have some of them beginning it when it's starting to get dark, when you can see three stars. And all of those are misinterpretations of what the Hebrew word ba'erev means. Now notice, back to verse 32. From sunset to sunset, you are to make a ceasing of your ceasing, or as it is in the King James, celebrate your Sabbath, or as it is in the Septuagint, to Sabbathize, your Sabbaths, plural. So this tells us that time is calculated from sunset to sunset, and the ninth day of the month at sunset ends the ninth day and begins the tenth day. So from sunset to sunset, for the tenth day of the seventh month for Day of Atonement means this literally. It is from sunset on the ninth day of the month to sunset on the tenth day of the month. Correct? That's a proper interpretation using what we have here. All right. Now, let's come to the section on Exodus 16. Now, let's come to Exodus 16, page 346. As we have seen, this instruction was given on a Sabbath day. And so, let's begin here in verse 6. Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at sunset, Ba'erev. Now mark that. What does sunset do? It ends a day, correct? Yes. Since this is the Sabbath day, it ends the Sabbath day. We'll see that in just a minute, and you can follow through with the context of Exodus 16. At sunset, you shall know that it is the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. At daybreak, Bokur, or sunrise, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because what did he do? He rained manna from heaven. And at sunrise, they could go out and gather the manna, correct? And they were to gather it for 6 days, right? So the morning is day one in the morning after the Sabbath ended at sunset, correct? All right. Come over here to the next page, 347. And this becomes important. And let me just tell you a little something here. In beginning the research on this in 1975, we were told by the hierarchy in the church that the Jewish interpretation of the Passover was correct and we should keep it on the 15th and not the 14th. However, if we wanted to keep it on the 14th, we shouldn't call it the Passover, we should call it the Lord's Supper. Now, I had just finished distributing about 12,000 of the Harmony of the Gospels, and in it I said, if there's anything new that comes up about the Passover, I'll certainly let everyone know. So I felt an obligation that if there was something that was wrong in a book, it should be corrected. So I was stuck in this way. And here's the proposition that started the whole thing off. Either we find in the Bible the way that God uses Bainhar, Ba'im, and Ba'erev together, which defines in a chronological way sunset between the setting times or between the two evenings, that God is used. Now, if we can't find a place where God used it in a way we can understand it, then we would have to accept the Jewish tradition or interpretation. So, lo and behold, we have right here in Exodus 16 how God uses the two terms, Ba'erev, sunset, and Bainhar Ba'im, between the two evenings. So, let's begin in verse 8 on page 347. Moses said, since the Lord gives you flesh to eat at sunset, Ba'erev, and at daybreak, Bokur, bread to satisfy yourselves. Now let's come down here to verse 10. There are times God wants to make his presence known, so he made it known to the children of Israel here. Now it was when Aaron spoke to the entire community of the children of Israel, they faced the wilderness, and here the glory of the Lord could be seen in the cloud. So here's this cloud pillar up there, and all of a sudden, God's glory just shines brightly out through the cloud. Now, just picture if you were there looking up at the cloud, what you would think. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the grumblings of the children of Israel speak to them and say, between the setting times you shall eat flesh. Now, between the setting times is between the two evenings, and as we saw the definition there in Leviticus 23, between sunset and dark. Now, how do we know that it's between sunset and dark for sure? Because that was put in as a footnote. So a footnote, if it's true, must have some scriptural backing. So we find it right here in this. Let's continue. Between the setting times you shall eat flesh, and at daybreak you shall be satisfied with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now it was at sunset that a horde of quail came up and covered the camp. Now, what has to happen before you can eat flesh? It has to come to you, right? the quail have to come to you. They came at sunset. Now, why did God do it at sunset? Because this was a Sabbath day. He did not want to work on the Sabbath because God keeps his own Sabbath, doesn't he? He rests on the Sabbath, correct? Now, if he would have sent the quail in the afternoon, and between the setting times means in the afternoon between 3 and 6, God would have broken the Sabbath. Then the next Sabbath, when the Israelites went out to look for a manna when he told them not to and he corrected them for it, they could have said, well, God worked last Sabbath, why can't I work this Sabbath? So he waited until sunset to send the horde of quail, right? Yes. Why? Because he didn't want them working on the Sabbath either, right? If they couldn't gather manna on the Sabbath, why should they be able to gather quail on the Sabbath? So he sent it at sunset. A horde of quail came up and covered the camp. Now, they landed on the camp. Why? Because Sabbath had ended, and he sent it to the camp so it would be easy for them to get. And they probably just fell right down, very submissive, not trying to fly away. You could probably just scoop them off the tent into a bag and then take them out, wring the head off, skin them and clean them, and roast them. By that time, you could have the fire stirred up, you know, and quail, the little quail breast, are not very big. So you could roast it and say within a half hour to 45 minutes, you could be eating flesh. In eating the flesh, it's after sundown, right? Because they didn't come till sundown. They couldn't have come before sundown because you can't eat something that has not yet arrived. Try eating a pizza from the neighborhood pizza parlor before it's delivered. You see what I mean? So what does this tell us? Here is a Bible definition used by God to show us that Bein Ha'arba'im, between the setting times, or between the two evenings, comes after sunset. So this means we have established, by the word of God, the use of the two terms, Ba'erev, sunset, and Bein Ha'arba'im, between sunset and dark. So therefore, his footnote over there in Leviticus 23 saying that it's after the sun goes below the horizon and before dark is true. It's not just a footnote of an explanation, and that explanation is a misinterpretation. All right, now let's continue on. Let's come back here to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And let's come to page 315. Now it talks about, verse 5, about a lamb no more than a year old. Okay, verse 6. It shall be for you in safekeeping until, that means up to this point in time. So if you select it on the 10th day of the month, then you have 10, 11, 12, 13, until the 14th. Now notice what it says. Until the 14th day after this new moon, or from the beginning of the month, and they are to slay it, the entire assembly of the community of Israel, between the setting times on the 14th. Which then has to be after sunset on the 13th. Because Bein Ha'arba'im, between the two evenings, comes after sunset. Correct? Yes. We just saw that in Exodus 16. I mean, we're only 1 month away from here. So the usage, you could not say through the centuries, the terminology has changed. Verse 7 told what to do with the blood. Verse 8, you are to eat the flesh in that night roasted in fire. Now make sure that you understand roasted. And matzah, or unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they are to eat it. Now, verse 9 is a key, important one to understand and realize, because this will help us when we get to Deuteronomy 16, which we will get to today. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water. Now, why does he say boiled and boiled in water? Because you can put meat into a pot and the juice will come out and you have vegetable juices with it, and you can boil it in those juices, or you can boil it in water. Now, where you see in the shock and boiled, that's double emphasis. That means you are not to boil it, but rather roasted in fire, its head along with its legs, along with its innards, which means the heart, the liver, the kidneys. They had to kill it, skin it, and put those back on the inside and then roast it on a spigot. So they would put a spigot all the way through, and then they would turn it. Now, you wouldn't want to take an animal that you just killed, not skin it, not clean it, run a stick all the way through it and put it over the fire and start roasting it, because the intestines would explode. Notice these instructions, verse 10. You are not to leave any of it until morning. What is left until morning, with fire you are to burn. Now, we'll see a little later that there's some similar terminology used of another sacrifice, but it doesn't say you shall burn with fire. Verse 11. Thus are you to eat it, your hips girded, your sandals on your feet, your stick or your staff in your hand. Next page. You are to eat it in trepidation. Now, trepidation is a much better translation than in haste, because in haste gives those who advocate a 15th Passover or a night to be remembered on the 14th that they were to eat it in a hurry and get out of the house as soon as the firstborn were killed. In trepidation, why? Because it was a night of fear and death. Trepidation is better than haste, far better, because it fits the evening of death and destruction. See. Next sentence. It is a Passover meal. Circle that. Passover meal. Because we will see a differentiation between that and Passover offering later when we come to Deuteronomy 16. I will proceed through the land of Egypt this night. Then at midnight, you know what he was to do. Okay? This day, as we have covered, the Passover day, shall be a memorial for you. Now, let's come down here and let's see something. Let's come to page 317, which doesn't have a page number on it. But Exodus 12 and verse 18. Because this again defines for us what we are talking about. Now, you can't, in reading the King James Version at even, you don't know if it's Bainar Baim or Ba'erev, because there's no distinction given unless you have a marginal reference, and even one marginal reference in one Bible said, between the two evenings, between 3 and 6 p.m., which is a Jewish interpretation. But what did we learn back in Leviticus 23? The ninth day of the month, Ba'erev, which ends the ninth, begins the tenth. Let's apply that here to verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day after the new moon, at sunset, ending the day, Ba'erev ends the day. Bain Ha'ar Ba'im begins the day, so this is just a few minutes less than 24 hours later. So ending the 14th is the beginning of what? The 15th, yes. Beginning of the 15th. You are to eat matzah or unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even, which ends the 21st day. Now, let's come down here to verse 21. Moses had all the elders of Israel called and said to them, pick out and take yourselves a sheep for your clans and slay the Passover animal. So we have Passover meal, Passover animal, and we have in another place Passover lamb. Then what you were to do with the blood and so forth. Now, the last part of verse 22. Now you, notice the emphasis. Now you are not to go out any man from the entrance of his house until daybreak. Bokur. Now this verse is absolute key as I have it marked here. Why? Because you cannot have them leaving their homes immediately after the striking dead of the firstborn of man and beast of the Egyptians while it was still dark. See, because all the children of Israel were in their homes in Goshen. They probably would have been killed, too, if they were the firstborn. Now, picture this. This is the instruction that you received. This is what Moses told the elders. The elders came back and instructed every head of the household, right? And said, no one is to go out of the entrance of the house until daybreak. Now, you killed the animal, you put the blood where you do it, you roast it, you eat it, and then at midnight you hear this cry starting as the wave of death swept through all the land of Egypt. Do you think that you would go out of the door of the house before daybreak? No. So anyone who says they left before sunrise kills their whole theory. Both the Passover on the 15th and the night of to be much observed on the 14th. Well, since it didn't have watches, God made it very simple to understand. When you see the sun come up, you can go. Now, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Now, let's come down here to verse 25. Turn the next page to 319. Now, it will be when you come into the land which the Lord will give to you, as he has spoken, you are to keep this service, and it will be when your children say to you, what does this service mean to you? Then say, it is the slaughter meal of the Passover to the Lord. So now we have slaughter meal, right? Notice, offering is not connected with this. Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he dealt the blow to Egypt and our houses he rescued, the people did homage and bowed low, and the children of Israel went and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, thus they did. Now let's understand something else. We just read part there in Exodus 16, didn't we? What happened when they went out to try and gather manna on the Sabbath? It was recorded that they broke God's command, right? Now, if anyone would have left before daybreak, it would have said so here, right? It would have said, some didn't, and they died. So they went and did as they said, thus they did. Now, let's come to the next page that we need, verse 40. Verse 40 then, which is page 322. There are many times after that they broke the commands of God. Okay, verse 40. Verse 40, and the settlement of the children of Israel, which they had settled in Egypt, was 30 years and 400 years. And it was at the end of 30 years and 400 years, and it was on that same day. Now, those who believe that the night to be observed should be kept on the 14th say that in the King James where it says, self-same day refers to the Passover day when it does not. This is referring to the day 430 years earlier, and you'll see a footnote down here, footnote 40, or verse 40, which is footnote 40, which refers back to Genesis 15, where we cover about the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. And it was at the end, now verse 41, of 30 years and 400 years, it was on that same day, not the Passover day, the day after. All the Lord's forces went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of watching for the Lord. night to be much observed or watching. Now, the night of keeping watch or watching or vigil had to do not with keeping the Passover, because if you're shut up in your house all night, what are you watching? Nothing. The vigil is God was watching over them to protect them, which also helps answer the question, how are they able to stay up two nights in a row? Well, God gave them the strength to do it, just like he gave the strength to the physical things of the shoes and clothes that didn't wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine 40-year-old clothes new? 40-year-old shoes without a scuff on them? Well, God gave them the strength to do it. So God was the one who was watching. How was he watching? Through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. So here they are, getting ready to leave Egypt. They left their homes in Goshen on the day portion of the Passover, and all the firstborn were very happy, and it says they left with a high hand because they came out winners. Same thing they do in sports today, right? The one who wins, they raise the right hand, put up the finger, number one, right? Yes, sign of triumph. Or when they score a touchdown in football, they raise both hands. See, so we haven't progressed very much in those days, have we? All right. Now let's continue. It is at night of keeping watch for the Lord. He was the one who was keeping watch over them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That is this night for the Lord, a keeping watch of all the children of Israel throughout their generation. Very important to understand. Now, picture this. They all assembled at Ramses. The sun is starting to go down. All of a sudden, here's this big cloud which appears right over them. And now it starts to light up as a pillar of fire as they are getting ready to go. And then Moses stands up and says, remember this day. That was the beginning of it, yes. Now let's come to verse 43, because this is important. This will help us understand the difference between the Passover meal and the Passover offering of Deuteronomy 16. Verse 43. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the law of the Passover meal. Again, meal. Any foreign son is not to eat of it, but any man serf who is acquired by money or slave, if you have circumcised him, then he may eat of it. Settler and hired hand are not to eat of it. In one house it is to be eaten. Where is the Passover to be eaten? In a house. Project forward. Where did Jesus and the apostles keep the Passover? He told the disciples, follow the, go into the city. When you see a man carrying a pitcher of water, follow him into the house and say to the master of the house. He didn't tell him, go to the temple. Remember that. We'll see this later. You are not to bring out of the house any of the flesh outside. You are not to break a bone of it. The entire community of Israel is to do it. Now, when a sojourner sojourns with you and would make the Passover meal to the Lord, every male with him must be sacrificed. Then he may come near to make it, and will be regarded as a native in the land, but any foreskinned man is not to eat of it. One instruction there shall be for the native and for the sojourner that sojourns in your midst. And all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, thus they did. Which means they burned it all, they didn't take it out of their house, etc. Right? Yes. Now, there is a period right here in the Shocken Bible, which means it ends the thought. Because one of the things that is stated in the paper that we ought to have the night much to be observed on the Passover night is where it says in the King James, and it came to pass on the selfsame day, verse 51. But verse 51 begins a new thought as Fox shows in the Shocken Bible here. Now let's read it. And it was on the same day when. Now, he didn't bring them out on the Passover, did he? He brought them out on the next day. The night. Came out by night. That was on the same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their forces. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Hallow to me every firstborn." That was to be for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And when was the first time that they could really celebrate this? They were, as I showed, they were redeemed and they had to be delivered. "Hallow to me every firstborn, breacher of every womb among the children of Israel, of man and of a beast, it is mine." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out from Egypt, from the house of serfs or slaves, for by the strength of hand the Lord has brought you out from here. No fermentation is to be eaten." Then we have sanctifying of the firstborn. Now let's come to page 823, which then is Numbers 33. Numbers 33, and we'll begin in verse 3. And again, we are going to see several misunderstandings. We'll clear them up. Verse 3, "They marched from Ramses in the first new moon on the 15th day after the first new moon, on the morrow after the Passover meal." And morrow means the next day. When did the 14th end? Ba'erev on the 14th, beginning the 15th, correct? Next day. "The children of Israel departed with a high hand before the eyes of all Egypt, while the Egypt was burying those that the Lord had struck dead among them, all the firstborn, and on their gods the Lord rendered judgment." Now, as the sun was going down, they were still what? Burying the dead. Because why? There were millions dead, besides all the animals. And think of how quickly these bodies start deteriorating. And think how they had to get them into the ground as quickly as they can. But it was a tremendous job. I mean, just think, all the buzzards and vultures and all of the flesh eaters were probably circling around all of Egypt waiting to come down and start devouring the body. So what they had to do, just like you see done in Iraq, build a big trench and throw the bodies in. What else could they do? They couldn't do anything else. And that's a big job. So it was still going on at sundown. Now, this also tells us that the children of Israel could not have left Egypt at midnight on the 15th, after having the Passover beginning the 15th, because the Egyptians wouldn't be out there burying their dead just a few minutes or hours after they had died. They wouldn't want to go out at the dark of night, because they would undoubtedly be fearful that they would be killed. So the soonest they could have started would be at daybreak. But they still could not have had them all buried by the time the children of Israel began to leave at sundown. Now, we'll see this when we come to Deuteronomy 16 in just a minute here. Yeah, no backhoes either. They had backbreakers. Now, we are ready to come to Deuteronomy 16. First of all, I want to read it in the King James Bible here, because this is where a lot of confusion comes from. And that's why I have chapter 14, which we'll cover a little bit later, out of the Passover book. So let's come to Deuteronomy 16. And what we are going to see is this. What is called Passover here refers to the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread, not just the Passover day. We will see that. Do we not do the same thing today? We say Passover and we mean Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sure. Yes. Let's first of all come to verse 16, because this gives us a summary of it. "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in a place which he shall choose." In the Passover. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, on Feast of unleavened bread. That's what it's talking about, because you see, verses 1 through 8 has to do with unleavened bread. Verses 9 through 12 have to do with the Feast of Weeks. So it says Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks, and verses 13 through 15 has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. So verse 16 is a summary of 1 through verse 15. Feast of Unleavened Bread, not Passover. Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. Now let's go back and pick up some key important things that we can pick out of verse of chapter 16. I'm just going to pick out certain things, and then we will come back and analyze it even a little bit more. Verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. When was it? On the day after the Passover, right? Yes. Now we'll see a little later, it says it's going down of the sun, which is not in agreement with the time for killing the Passover lamb. All right. Verse 2. You shall sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd. Note that. That's different than Exodus 12. In the place which he shall choose to place his name there. That refers to the temple. Where did God say to keep the Passover? In your home. So this is different. What is this referring to, and why are these called Passover offerings? We'll see in just a little bit. Verse 3, you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread therewith. So the Passover offerings went on for how long? 7 days. Because they were to eat unleavened bread with these offerings. Even the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, and Shochan has intrepidation, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Verse 4. There shall be no leavened bread seen with you in all your coasts 7 days. So we have eating unleavened bread 7 days. No leaven 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day at even. This is Ba'erev, at sunset. First day refers to what? Not the Passover, but the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remain all night until morning. Now, what does that mean? Come over here to verse 19, chapter 15. Here's what we are talking about. Here is what was happening. Just like on the day portion of the Passover, all the children of Israel, and of course the firstborn, were especially happy because they were spared. They came and assembled at Ramses. Moses told them that they were to, on that day, remember the firstborn, because it all belonged to God, both of animal and of beast. Now notice verse 19. All the firstling males that come of the herd and of the flock. Now notice how that agrees with verse 2, chapter 16. Flock and herd. So we're talking about the firstling offerings, which began to be offered late on the day of the Passover, so it could be eaten on the night much to be observed. And we will see that in a little bit in 2 Chronicles 35. You shall sanctify unto the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstling of your bullocks, nor shear the firstling of your sheep. You shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year. When is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Year by year. In the place which the Lord shall choose you and your household. Now, how were they to offer these? How were they to offer these? Let's come to Leviticus 7. These were thank offerings and peace offerings, thank offerings for redeeming the firstborn. They could also be redeemed with money. But God said you will redeem your firstborn males with a lamb. Leviticus 7. And it talks about this very kind of sacrifice that we have here. Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Now, hold your place here in Leviticus 7, and let's come back here to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. And let's see where he is talking about that the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which then begins at sundown after the 14th, he said, remember this day in which you're going. They went out at night, correct? Yes. Now, Exodus 13 and verse 12, KJV, you shall set apart unto the Lord all that opens a matrix, every firstborn that comes of a beast which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But they also had an offering for the females because nearly half of the firstborn are females. So they would still have an offering for that, a little different than the offering which was dedicated for the male. And to redeem them, to redeem the male then, they also had to have a monetary offering with it. And every firstling of the ass you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you do not redeem it, you shall break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among the children of Israel shall you redeem. So they redeemed with an offering for the male plus money. They redeemed with an offering for the female. So all the firstborn, whether it is male or female, belongs to God. Now, let's come to Leviticus 7, because this talks about how they were to do it, and it was a peace offering. Now, peace offerings were accepted all year long, but the peace offering was the one of the dedication for the firstborn. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Leviticus 7 and verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thank offering, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour fried, pancakes. Besides the cake, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thank offering, thanksgiving of his peace offering, that is, except during the days of unleavened bread. And this is the only offering outside of the offering that was brought on the day of Pentecost where leaven was used. Verse 14, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. It shall be the priest. And over here, verses 28 through 34 shows that the right shoulder, the wave breast, would belong to the priest, which means he got the chuck roast and he got the prime rib on the right side. Now, back here to verse 14. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it was offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. That's why it says, as we will see in Deuteronomy 16, that they were to offer these at the going down of the sun, ending the 14th and beginning the 15th. So, they were not to leave anything until morning. But notice it doesn't say that which remains shall be burned. Different process altogether. Verse 16. And if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. On the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. So the peace offering for a vow or voluntary offering is different than what it is for the firstborn. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So there it is. It handled it a different way. And if they ate it, it wouldn't be accepted. Now, let's come back to Deuteronomy 16. Let's take our handout where we have page 923, which begins Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. Keep the new moon or the month of Abib, or ripe grain. You are to observe the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord took you out of Egypt at night. So this has to do with the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But what were they doing on the day portion of the 14th leading up to the sacrifice? They were getting everything ready, weren't they? The priests were getting in their orders. The people were getting their sacrifices for the firstborn, redemption for the firstborn, and all of that. Now notice, you are to slaughter the Passover offering, not meal, unto the Lord your God from flock and herd. So that's the peace offering. In the place that the Lord chooses to have his name dwell. Whereas the Passover could be kept at home as long as you were in the land of Israel. These were the dedication for the firstborn and could not be eaten any place else except at the tabernacle or temple. Verse 3. You are not to eat it with leaven. 7 days you are to eat it, that is the Passover offering. So the Passover offering could go on all during the 7 days of unleavened bread. So this Passover offering is called Passover offering because it starts out with a dedication of the firstborn who were passed over. So it commemorates that. It commemorates the giving of the firstborn to the Lord. Commemorates the redemption of the firstborn to the Lord, beginning on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover, then, being in this instance referring to the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice, 7 days you are to eat it with matzah or unleavened bread, bread of affliction, for with trepidation you went out from the land of Egypt, in order that you may bear in mind the day of your going out from the land of Egypt all the days of your life, which began, and we prove what? The 15th. Beginning Ba'erev, the 14th, which ends the 14th, beginning the 15th. All the days of your life. Now, let's read on. There shall not be seen with you any fermentation in all your territory for 7 days. There is not to remain overnight any of the meat that you slaughtered at sunset on the first day until daybreak. So they were to eat it. Now notice, we're going to see this. They were to stay up all night. This was really a feast. Now notice verse 5. You are not to slaughter the Passover offering within any of your gates that the Lord your God is giving you, which is different than Exodus 12, isn't it? They were to do it at home, correct? Yes. Not go out of the house. Not take any of the flesh out of the house, right? Didn't we read that? Yes. Rather in the place that the Lord your God chooses his name to dwell. Now notice this next sentence. You are to slaughter the Passover offering at setting time, the going down of the sun, when the sun comes in. In other words, they were to be all ready, and when the sun was starting to go down at the beginning of Ba'erev, they were to start the sacrifices. Now, that is different from the Passover lamb, isn't it? The Passover lamb was to be slain when? Between the two evenings. So this has to do with the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice, at setting time, or sunset, when the sun comes in. So this shows the sun was still up and it was coming in, or as it is in the King James, at the going down of the sun. At the appointed time of your going out from Egypt. See, that shows the 430 years to the same day was the appointed time that God had set for their leaving Egypt. Verse 7 is important. You are to boil it. So what happened? You took it to the priest. It was sacrificed. He splashed some of the blood on the altar of burnt offering. They skinned it. Or maybe they didn't skin it right there. But they cut off of it, what? The right shoulder for the priest. You were to take the rest of it and go back, and you were to chop it up and make a stew out of it. Boil it. Perfect for a cold night, right? Keep you warm, right? You are to boil it. That's why the confusion comes from the King James where it says roast. This word here is bashal, which is to boil. Now, this cannot be the Passover lamb, because the Passover lamb was not to be boiled, correct? Now, in this notice, this is a little bit different wording, and in the Hebrew, the word is different. Exodus 12, it said what? Passover meal. Passover lamb. Here, it is Passover offering. And the difference is this Passover offering was for during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called Passover at that time by Ezra, as we will see, because you have to read chapter 15 of the Passover book to understand why that happened and why Ezra did that. We'll read 2 Chronicles 35 here in just a minute, and we will see how it fits in exactly with what was said here. You are to boil it, you are to eat it in the place that the Lord your God chooses. Then you are to face about at daybreak. So they stayed up all night. Go back to your tents. So this is what? The night to be remembered, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Passover day. Because what does it say, verse 8? For 6 days you are to eat matzah. And on the seventh day is a day of restraint to the Lord your God. You are not to do any work. So some people come along and say, see, 6 days you're to eat unleavened bread. No, that just means 6 more days after the first day you're to eat unleavened bread. Because it says up above, 7 days you're to eat unleavened bread, right? So there's no conflict. So people come along with a carnal argument and say, 6 days, see, we can eat leaven on the last day. Well, where are you going to get it? See, this was sourdough. How long does it take for dough to become sour? 48 hours. So you couldn't have had any leaven for the last seventh day, right? And besides, it says eat unleavened bread for 7 days. So 1 day plus 6 equals how many? 7 days. All right. Now, what about this thing concerning Passover offerings, and why does that apply to the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Now, let's come to 2 Chronicles 35. 2 Chronicles 35. Now, what most people don't realize is this. Ezra wrote 2 Chronicles. So that's why the wording here and in Deuteronomy 16 is very similar. Because Ezra also did some editing of the Old Testament to bring it up to date. Now, you can read of that in the Passover book, chapter 15. I talk about Ezra's canonization of the Old Testament. So let's begin here, 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 1. And Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover lamb. Now notice, that's different from the Passover offering, as we will see. On the 14th day of the first month. Now, they did not keep it in their homes, because the children of Israel were coming out of 55 years of Manasseh's apostasy and what he did to the temple. And they were coming out of 2 years of what his son Amnon did. And Josiah did not start to reign. He started to reign, rather, when he was 8 years old. And he didn't do anything till virtually his 12th year, which means he was 20 years old. So here's this great reformation that took place because of the repentance of Josiah. Now, in the sermon that is coming with this, one person can make a difference. I cover about Josiah's repentance. Now, they did kill the Passover lambs on the day portion of the 14th. Why? Because, as I write in the Passover book, the children of Israel could not be trusted to do it right. So he had the priest do it. And also understand this. The children of Israel were so paganized by that time, the way of God was so foreign to them that they didn't understand anything about it. It would be like taking a crowd of people out of San Francisco today and say, keep the Passover. They wouldn't know what to do. So this is why he had the priests do it. Now let's read on and we'll see how it was all combined together here, and we'll see the difference between Passover lamb and Passover offering. And he set the priest in their charges, verse 2, and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. Now, the 2 Chronicles 35, I might add, is from the Jewish Publication Society of America, the Old Testament, published in 1955. The new Jewish Publication Society of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is not reliable, because it's based on the traditions of the rabbis rather than on the true Masoretic text. Okay, let's go on. And he set the priest in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel that were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, had built. Now that's something, isn't it? Remember, they were cleansing the temple. They found the book of the law. And they had to take the ark out of the Holy of Holies in order to cleanse the temple. That's how bad it was at the temple. So now he's saying, put it back. There shall no more be a burden upon your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people. Prepare you after your father's houses by your courses according to the writing of David, king of Israel, according to the writing of Solomon his son, and stand in the holy place according to the division of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the children of the people, and let there be for each a portion of your father's house of the Levites, and kill the Passover lamb, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare for your brethren, and do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now notice verse 7. Now we switch. Now we come to something very akin to, and a matter of fact, exactly like Deuteronomy 16. Josiah gave to the children of the people of the flocks, lambs and kids, all of them for Passover offerings, unto all that were present to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. So what do we have? Of the flocks, and the herd. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priest for Passover offerings. Different from Passover lambs. This is Deuteronomy 16 in action, beginning late on the 14th and going on into the 15th and into the night, as we will see here in just a bit. Passover offerings, 2,600 small cattle, 300 oxen. So this was not for the one night, but this was what? For the whole 7 days. I mean, you're not going to kill that many in one night, but over 7 days, that's what it's all about. And then it lists the other ones there. And they gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings, last part of verse 9, 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. Man, you talk about the place smelling like a steakhouse for a whole week. You wouldn't want to leave any left over till morning. Eat it all, every bite. So the service was prepared. The priests stood in their place, the Levites by their courses, according to the king's commandment. Now, just like God does with us, when we repent and we start out and we do things not exactly right, God still honors it, right? Yes. So that's why he honored killing the Passover lamb on the day portion of the 14th, because compared to all the paganism they were doing, this was a step in the right direction. Probably by the next Passover, they got it straightened out. King's commandment. And they killed the Passover lamb, and the priests dashed the blood which they received at their hands. The Levites slayed them. They removed the portions that were to be burnt, that they might give them to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the children of the people to present unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. That is according to a peace offering. That's how they did it. And they did so with the oxen. Now notice this. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the holy offerings, and boiled them in pots, in cauldrons. Now it says here sod, that means boiled, in pots, in cauldrons, and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the children of the people. So what? So they could keep the night to be much observed. So this was quite a thing. This was quite a reformation. Can you imagine all of these pots and cauldrons and everything going on? Here you have priests roasting the Passover, so they passed that out first and they ate the Passover. And then what did they do? They came along and they had all of these offerings for the firstborn, all of the peace offerings, and they boiled them and cooked them. Now, I don't know what they put in there, but I tell you what, you could make a tremendous stew with either lamb stew or goat stew or oxen stew, whichever one, and have it really good and tender and everything. Carried them quickly to all the children of the people, and afterward they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the son of Aaron, were busied in offering portions that were to be burnt and fat until night. So this went on in through the night. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and the priests, the sons of Aaron. Then it talks about all the singers. And so you had quite a thing going on here. All the sacrificing, all of this offering, all of the singers singing, all the people gathered around. I imagine they were singing and dancing and happy, you know, rejoicing in what? The night to be much observed because of God delivering them out of the land of Egypt. Tremendous thing. Verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover, which then went on into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to offer burnt offerings upon the Lord, the altar of the Lord, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Now, let's understand something here. So when it talks about Passover offerings versus Passover lambs, the Passover offerings were for all the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, in the 18th year of his reign, Josiah was this Passover kept. Now with that background, we're ready to do a survey of chapter 14. So let's come to chapter 14, which I took out of the Passover book. And the reason I did, now you have everything that you need there. I want you to go over it in detail. But now we are ready to analyze the differences between Exodus 12 and Deuteronomy 16. So let's come to chapter 14, page 166, and we'll begin there. Now, this is how you solve a very difficult to understand section of Scripture. And you separate out the differences so you can understand that Deuteronomy 16 is not talking about the Passover meal to be eaten, sacrificed and eaten at home, but it's talking about the Passover offerings from the flock and the herd to start off the Feast of Unleavened Bread, beginning with the night to be much observed. Now, the first paragraph here with 12 major differences in the commands in Deuteronomy 16. Now, remember this. The Word of God does not contradict itself. So if there is an apparent contradiction, there has to be a proper explanation. So that's what we have here. So let's read the first paragraph, and then we'll summarize the other things going through. The commands that are given in Deuteronomy 16 differ greatly from the Passover instructions that are recorded in Exodus 12 and Numbers 9 and 28. When we analyze the commands in Deuteronomy 16, we find 12 major discrepancies between these commands and the ordinances that God gave for the Passover. These differences all point to the fact that the word Passover in Deuteronomy 16 is not referring to the sacrifice of the Passover lambs, but to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's take a close look at these differences to verify which feast is being named in Deuteronomy 16. 1. The word Passover is linked with Abib only in Deuteronomy 16. Every place else it's linked with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was edited by Ezra at the time when the Feast of Unleavened Bread was called Passover. In all other scriptures, the phrase, the month of Abib, is clearly referring to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and says so. 2. Deuteronomy 16:1 appears to link the Passover with leaving Egypt, but Exodus 12 specifically states that the Passover commemorates God's passing over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he executed judgment upon the firstborn of the Egyptians. The Passover does not commemorate the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt, but the Lord's passing over the children of Israel the night before they left Egypt. Then down a little further, they were to stay in their houses till morning. Here, they come to what? The tabernacle or temple, right? Yes. All right, number 3. Deuteronomy 16:6 gives the time setting for the Passover offering as at even, Hebrew ba'erev, at the going down of the sun. This command differs from the command of Exodus 12 and Numbers 9 that the Passover lamb be killed at Bein Harbaim between the two evenings or between sunset and dark. Then I refer to what we already covered in Exodus 16 about the difference between Ba'erev and Bein Harbaim. Number 4. The phrase, brought you forth out of Egypt by night in Deuteronomy 16, directly conflicts with the Passover command in Exodus 12:22, that none of you go out of the door of this house until morning. However, the phrase brought you forth out of Egypt by night does not conflict with leaving the next night as recorded in Exodus 12:37-42 and Numbers 33:3-5. When we understand that the Feast of Unleavened Bread commemorates the Exodus, then the phrase, going down of the sun and brought you forth of Egypt by night, fits perfectly. Now you can read the rest of that. Let's come down here to number 5. Okay. Number 5. The passage, this is on page 167. The Passover offering that is commanded in Deuteronomy 16:2 could be taken from the herd as well as the flock. The Hebrew word that is translated herd is bakwar, which specifically refers to bovine animals such as calves and bullocks, as we saw already there in 2 Chronicles 35, right? And then I make a comment here that John the Baptist did not say, behold the calf of God which takes away the sin of the world. Said the Lamb of God. So you can read the rest of point number 5. That's why I'm just surveying, so you can go back and read it in detail. Point number 6. Deuteronomy 16:5-6 gives these instructions concerning the Passover offering. You may not sacrifice the Passover offering within any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover offering at even, ba'erev, at the going down of the sun, at the season you came forth out of Egypt. So as I point out, this is entirely different than the domestic observance which was to be in the house. Eat it in the house, take none of the flesh out of the house, what was left was to be burned. Number 7, Deuteronomy 16:3 commands, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith. When we read the preceding verse, we find that the antecedent therewith is the Passover offering. The command in verse 3 shows that unleavened bread was to be eaten with the Passover offering for 7 days. And of course, then this again verifies what? That it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover. Now, this shows that it's the impossibility of being the Passover lamb. Why? Because the Passover lamb was eaten on one night in the house, and everything that was left was to be burned in the morning, and so you couldn't eat the Passover lamb for 7 days, correct? Yes. But they offered these offerings all during the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover, and they ate unleavened bread with it for 7 days. Then point number 8. You shall roast and eat it. As we saw, that was an incorrect translation and should be boiled as we saw in Everett Fox's translation. So you can go back and read all the rest about point number 8. I just want to give you an overview. Number 9. Number 9. The term the first day in Deuteronomy 16:4 does not refer to the Passover day. This term clearly refers to the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as it follows the command to observe 7 days. There shall be no leaven seen with you 7 days, neither shall any of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day. The use of the word Passover in verse 1 is a later terminology of Judaism. The practice of calling the Feast of Unleavened Bread the Passover began many centuries after God gave his commands for the Passover. Now, also, there's another reference which I point out here where Josephus writes and says, for that last Passover that they had over 2 million of animals that they used. Now, you're not going to sacrifice 2 million animals on one day. That's for the whole 7 days. All right, now point 10. Deuteronomy 16:4 commands, neither shall any of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day at even remain all night until morning. Many assume that this command is referring to the flesh of the Passover lamb, as God gave a similar command for the Passover that I quoted here. But it has you that which remains you shall burn. So then I show what we just read here in Leviticus 7. You're not to leave any of it until morning. So it has to do with the peace offering for the firstborn. Point number 11. Deuteronomy 16:2, 5, and 6. Now this is key. Are the only verses in the entire Pentateuch, that being the first five books of Moses, where the offerings for the Feast of Unleavened Bread are referred to as, quote, the Passover offerings, unquote. This terminology was not in use when Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy, but shows the later practice of the Jews, and in the next chapter I show that it was probably Ezra who made the adjustment for it to reflect the practice of his day and the days that closed out with Josiah there in 2 Chronicles 35. Number 12, Deuteronomy 16:8 contains what it appears to be a glaring contradiction to other scriptural commands of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. But you go back and read it. That doesn't mean that the feast was cut short by a day, nor does it mean that you could eat leaven on that day, as some Jews later interpreted, because right in the context, as we showed, there were 7 days that unleavened bread was to be eaten. Now let's come to page 172, first full paragraph that begins with remember. Remember, error does not agree with truth. Truth agrees with the Scripture, and the Word of God does not contradict itself. It is possible that the Hebrew text was altered by men, not in a way that was wrong, but so that the people of their day could understand it. That's why when you read there in the book of Nehemiah, Ezra stood up and read out of the law, but then he interpreted in Aramaic for the people so they could understand it. So this is what was done here. And you can read that in chapter 15. Altered by men in an attempt to give their human interpretation to the appearance of scriptural authority. However, the Word of God so totally agrees with itself because God inspired it, that these areas of human misrepresentation can be discovered and corrected, which we have just done here. And then I show that this does not prove that the Passover is on the 15th. Now, let me just add something here, very important, because I'm going to do one more sermon on this, doing the New Testament. So let me just add this. The Jews as I read in the first one I did in this series, that the Karaite Jews say they do nothing on the 14th because they are in exile in the diaspora. And when you read Numbers 9, it says if someone is unclean or in a journey far off, in other words, out of the land of Israel, he would keep the Passover in the second month when he got back. So the Karaite Jews admit that they could not do anything on the 14th while they were in the diaspora, because of their sins, they were not in the land. That's why, trying to give the appearance of solidarity with all Jews keeping the laws of God, they insist that the Passover has to be on the 15th because the Feast of Unleavened Bread that they keep, called the Passover, begins on the 15th. Now then, why can we keep the Passover on the 14th and do not have to be in the land of Israel to keep it? One, because we are not offering animal sacrifices. Two, the sacrifice that we commemorate with the foot washing, the bread, and the wine is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain where? In the land, outside the gate of Jerusalem. So our sacrifice was offered in Jerusalem, correct? And in taking the remembrance of it with the foot washing, the bread, and the wine, that's what Jesus told us to do. So we can keep the Passover on the 14th wherever we are in the world as the 14th comes to us, the way that Jesus said. Whereas the Jews who reject Jesus cannot keep a 14th Passover because they are not in the land, they are in the diaspora, and those who are in the land do not have a temple, so they don't do it. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, we will end up where we began. How did we start out this in the first one? What scriptures did I use? I used 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul had to correct them for having a meal on the Passover night, that they shouldn't do it. He said, some of you are gluttons and don't even give to those who have need, and some of you are drinking and getting drunk. So he said at the end of the chapter, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home before he comes to the Passover. See? So, Paul actually was dealing with the same problem of having the night much to be observed on the Passover night that is by this paper that was sent to me. And I have some other historical information that I just got the other day, and I haven't been able to read it to solidify it, so I'll try and have that ready for the one that I give next Sabbath. That during the 200s AD, they had the same problem with people putting the night to be observed on the 14th and keeping 7 days of unleavened bread from the 14th through the 20th. Because they kept Sunday communion and Easter and unleavened bread. So what are we going to find out we are dealing with? We are dealing with a recycle of heresy that Paul said was heresy by Satan the devil. And he just recycles these things and sounds very superior and very religious and very righteous. And it is not so.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is U-Y-O, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willore, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.